Welcome. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and I just bathed in the living waters.
I'm Sandy Grevis, and I just brought a cheap X-34 Landspeeder from some kid.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I am strong with the Force.
I'm Mia Harkness, and I'm excited because I'm not the littlest one in the room this week.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I'll force pan you if you touch that again.
You don't need to hear our banter. We can go about our business. We should read the headlines. Colonisation goes all smarties as Brewer goes all rainbow.
Communicate with the other side for a prize.
All hail Hanky World.
Commander Snores needs an upgrade.
Long-standing galactic naming faux pas solved.
ZPG gives us an insight beyond sight of their newest ship.
And I will have a route through the heap of steaming bio-waste that is the Hutton BGS bit.
Hot on the heels of Brewer Corporation's investment in the infrastructure to expand the bubble of humanity and send us once again exploding outwards towards the stars as pioneers and property magnates, news is reaching Hutton that the time for payback has begun. With claims on new systems bringing in only a trickle of money to Brewer, and the sheer number of colonisation ships they've deployed, a fleet so massive you could use it as a sunshade on a bright British spring day and cover most of continental Europe, many analysts have been wondering A, where the cash came from, and B, how Brewer ever thought they'd be making their investment back. Did they have shares in steel and CMM composites? Are they skimming something off the top somewhere that no one has noticed? Is Brewer Corporation secretly funded by the League of NPC Pilots from their vast cash pot? It turns out that it's simpler than that. A leaked memo between the Brewer Corporation and the Pilots Federation has revealed their master plan in all its technicolor glory. They're being paid in ARCs. That other currency, the non-volatile, definitely not connected to the blockchain currently used by the Pilots Federation to fund all their investment into the ship manufacturers and a few of the ship manufacturers and an odd company that makes pumpkin-shaped helmets, currency. Quite simply put, they've put all their eggs in one basket, or in this case, one paint pot. Having given everyone countless stations, orbital settlement satellites and installations, they're making their money back with paint. Yes, you too can now take your newly minted Coriolis and personalise it with a paint choice of your colour, as long as it's not purple. You want a white one with green or yellow flashes on it? Yes, they do look like the trainers. Your wish is their command. A vibrant blue gem hanging in space around your chosen boring brown dwarf star, adding a little flash of colour to space? You go for it. It's not actually paint, of course. Looking at the number of arcs it costs, it's not much different from sticking your name on things, or paint on your adder. Well, the same league of prices. If the price was connected to actual paint, it would probably involve selling a kidney on the black market. Brewer Corporation's new Chromo Coat trademark exterior dynamic hue layer uses quantum-activated paramagnetic nanopigments suspended within a transparent ferroelastic lattice. When a low-voltage chromo field is applied via the station's external surface nodes, these pigments realign the reflective indices in microseconds, allowing for instant, seamless colour changes across an entire Coriolis station. The system draws less power than a vending machine and is resilient against micrometeorite strikes, solar flare activity, and casual vandalism with high-powered lasers. When questioned about this approach to painting a station for money, our insider at Brewer Corporation said,
"Cunning, eh?"
Of course, as is always the case, people don't like this decision. Mainly because what they really wanted was a Panther Clipper. But having been told they're getting that, they've decided to find something else to moan about. In this case, it's the lack of black. No midnight black paint jobs will be available. Now, to most people, there is an obvious reason for this. Imagine Commander Igneous T. Rockforbrains heading back home after a particularly long trip out into space. He's busting for Cubicle 3 and in a bit of a hurry. Arrives from Supercruise and, possibly due to nominative determinism, actually has Rockforbrains and decides to dock manually. He boosts towards the station.
Hang on. There's something wrong. All I can see is stars.
He says.
Better get closer. Bloody Pilots Federation and their glitches. I bet the beacons dropped me too far away.
So, he duly boosts in the direction he thinks the station is. Then...
Oh, stars are getting really close. That's odd.
And finally...
Warning, hull breach detected.
As he pancakes against the backside of the station. His last thought...
Why does that star look like it contains someone's bedroom?
So, stations, available in any colour except looks like the background of the Milky Way.
Gullbay founder Walter Mellons has brought the company out of its comfort zone for his latest venture. Gullbay Interplanetary Incorporated has launched one of its proprietary rude vegetable-shaped delivery vehicles to deploy a swarm of communication satellites, which, it is hoped, will be able to transmit signals back and forth across the event horizon of a black hole. In his weekly altruism propaganda cast, Mr. Mellon said, "If this works, it will allow people to talk to friends and family who have been trapped in black holes, allowing them to catch up, celebrate family occasions and passwords for the Wi-Fi. It would also allow them to use Gullbay's networking and streaming services for a modest subscription fee." The first experiment is due to take place at the Great Annihilator in the Empyrean Straits. As the second largest black hole in the Milky Way, Gullbay noted that it would be suitable for giving the equipment a thorough testing. The technology, which was developed by Mr. Mellon's other company, Gross Mellons, learned lessons from Guardian technology, allowing them to develop a signal which can be tuned to counteract the time dilation effect and will be compatible with existing ship comm systems.
We're going to play a mix of late 20th century pop music at them, so they won't be able to ignore us,
said a Gross Mellones spokesperson.
After an hour or so of Agadoo One repeat, they'll be sure to send a message back, even if it's just to ask us to stop, which of course we will, for subscribers.
When asked how they knew that there are definitely people trapped in the black hole, the spokesperson responded,
what?
Grand Pupa and Great He Elephant of Colonia, Groom of the Stool, Keeper of the Lady Olive Sidecar, and King of the Clones, His Most Exalted Majesty, Emperor Hanky, has opened his very own theme park aboard a specially constructed orbit station in Tasheta Sector AM-M-A7-1. The entire station is a theme park, constructed, owned and crewed by Emperor Hanky and a cast of Hanky clones. They are Hanky Barmen, Hanky Cleaners, Hanky Security Officers, Hanky Engineers, Hanky Exotic Dancers, and Hanky Taxi Drivers. There's even a rumour that Emperor Hanky himself wanders the station, but can you spot him without his golden crown? Have you ever wondered how the Hanky clones are made? Well, now visitors can follow the process live as they go through the various stages from seeding to decanting. There is even an opportunity to have a go yourself. Patrons can select skill sets and outfits for their very own Mr. Hanky as he advances. And if you change your mind, then don't worry. Any rejected Hankies can be sent to the juicing room for recycling. You can travel on the Colonia Coaster, a terrifying BGS themed roller coaster, which catapults the adventurous customers through the ups and downs of the hot coal systems. Younger visitors can have a bash at driving a hanky bus from Colonia to the bubble without running out of fuel. The Hanky World Vivarium has snake themed delights for everyone. Whether you like royal pythons or are living your best adder life, there's a serpent for herpetologists young and old. Promising tea, coffee and even beers in the station's bars. Now that's a tall order, as anyone who has tried to buy a pint in the bubble will know. Besides the unfettered luxury of watching ships come and go as they sink a cold one, or more likely a tepid one, commanders can watch a live hanky clone taliometer as it keeps track of the number of active hankies as they enter the galaxy and as they depart through means nefarious, accidental, hilarious and heartbreaking. The gift shop in the social hub sells hanky themed souvenirs such as golden crowns, my other 12 ships are fleet carriers, key rings, hanky bus on the buses with Mr. Hanky hoodies and hats, be nice to Mr. Hanky t-shirts and even replica gold llama jackets. And of course, no visit to King Hanky World would be complete without a visit to the Grand Throne Room, where Emperor King Mr. Hanky dispenses justice, monitors clone performance and oversees his beloved pythons, the snakes, not the ships. So, if you're at a loose end, why not visit Hanky World and experience a day out you'll never forget in a hurry, no matter how hard you try.
Alvin's aide-de-camp, Commander Snoyce, has resumed his duties after a somewhat lengthy sabbatical, and it's obvious that there have been some developments in that time. There are bacon-flavoured tennis balls, the Thargoids have gone, there's a new president of the Federation, well, we think, and Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus his daughters, have a spring sail on. And colonies, so many colonies. For his fluffiness to visit them all, he will have to do some travelling, which raises an issue. Snoyce has been away for a while and his ships have been kept in storage. He may have to take his ships into space dock for refitting before setting off, as a bemused Alvin decided his luxury dolphin was a bit retro. While he appreciated the use of polished wood and button-back leather sofas with a tartan rug thrown over the back in his luxury cabin, he was less impressed with the cockpit, which had a regulator rather than a throttle, an ash pan where the heat gauge should be, and apart from a pressure gauge and a few valves, there weren't an awful lot of information systems aboard. He did like the whistle though, and Snoyce wore dungarees and a driver cap, which was nice. There is also a bumper sticker on the outside reading, "My other ship is a Cobra Mark II," which will have to go. As will the 1970s Go Faster stripes, the Snoyce and Alvin strip across the top of the canopy, and the beige Teasmade machine. Although still unsure about all of these newfangled holograms and glass cockpit nonsenses, Commander Snoyce said he will have a look through the catalogues as soon as they arrive in the post, and asked if he could get the upgrades on HP, or if he would have to send in a postal order, because he doesn't have a checkbook yet.
Talking of Alvin, we are taking a little detour over to one of Hutton's newer systems, where teams have been hard at work consolidating Hutton influence on the newly spectacular, if rather obviously chosen, system of Dabi Major. As reported by this very news outlet in recent weeks, Dabi Major is now the home to its very own Hutton orbital, 0.51 light years away from the jump endpoint, and with a supercruise that causes even the boldest Apex taxi driver to reconsider their career choices. The team felt it only fitting that, as with the original Alpha Centauri system, there was somewhere to stop for a pee and a pint, not necessarily in that order, before making the mammoth journey, and set to building a new facility somewhere a little nearer the jumping point. Finding a nice ring, as you do, around a nice planet, it is, and near other ringed things, the team decided that an asteroid base would be perfect. Minimal steel construction, a lot of blasting, natural protection from meteorites, asteroids, drunk pilots, and radiation. It's one of the most beautiful locations that we've built so far. When it came to the naming ceremony, there was really only one choice. Alpha C has Hutton Orbital and Al-Din Prospect, both recently the site of wanton destruction by Tharg the Mighty. And it seemed only fitting that where some pair put a D where there should have been a V, that the new station be named Al-Vin Prospect, in honour of his nibs, our mighty figurehead spaniel, Mr. Alvin DeFeer of Hutton Orbital. Alvin is said to be mightily pleased with the decision, and has an urge to repaint his name on the other station on a regular basis. If his hands could hold a paintbrush, of course. As for the system next door, Dabby Minor, well, the project to build a station around one of the black holes, uncomfortably near the event horizon of said black hole, was set back this week after the Pilots Federation moved all starports that were in dangerous locations a tad further away from being spaghettified, cooked, irradiated, or crushed by the gravity. As for the name of this new station, well, we've accepted the names The Argonath and Palmer Gateway for the time being, but we rather like more adventurous names like Black Hole Rim. Oh, and one other thing. As it's not part of the Hutton Bridge project, it appears that some local factions have been muscling in on the action, and all the pilots are requested to pop over and help put Hutton's name over the door, ejecting the Johnny-come-earlies who nabbed in while we were napping from all the trucking.
As many pilots who have been frequenting the Galactic Forums, Galtwit, Read That, and other such salty outlets may know, as well as watch the live stream leaks from the Pilots Federation every last Wednesday of the month, the most frequent request, other than Xbox Wen and Space Feet, has been one of volumetric demands for the return of the venerable Panther Clipper. It turns out that, rather like a tectonic plate attempting to escape from another nearby tectonic plate, or a supertanker trying to change direction, things move slowly in Pilots Federation circles, but eventually things happen. Buildings shake, volcanoes erupt, said tanker avoids bumping into the dock when it arrives, helped mostly by little tug vessels, and miracles do happen. Yes, they've announced the Panther Clipper will be made available later this year. Even better than that, it's the two. Not the original cardboard box covered in laser turrets and little wiggly thrusters like a keelback, but an entirely new evolution of this cargo behemoth. They've been at it with a belt sander and rounded off the rough edges. They've looked at the landing gear and, after one particularly long session watching 80s cartoons, they've made the ship entirely more feline, with legs and possibly claws, and a special built-in display rack for the Sword of Omens. Rumours are that in order to be able to buy one, you'll need a leotard and really big hair, plus be tested for an overabundance of patience, as it's suggested that due to the sheer mass of the vessel and the cargo it carries, it's likely to behave not like a svelte savannah-dwelling stalker or a rainforest hunter, more like a rather full warthog wading through a muddy swamp. There have been a number of questions from the community, such as...
Will it be too big for the docking slots on the station? And we'll have to unload the cargo from outside of the station.
Well, no, that would be silly, and would involve inventing things that don't exist yet, like external docking ports and new lifts that go to the outside of stations. So yes, it's big. Yes, it will fit through the access corridor, albeit maybe like trying to squeeze a sleeping bag back into its carry bag at the end of a camping trip. Yes, it's likely to be festooned with lots of little hardpoints on which to fit turrets, because the likelihood of you turning fast enough to keep a bead on any passing piratical types is close to zero, and most probably can swallow enough cargo to allow the Hutton team to go for a new galactic biggest trade record. So, feel the thunder, hear the roar, the Panther Clipper's here. Well, it will be. Later.
Welcome to this week's Hutton BGS bit, where we throw a brick at the window of the Hutton Situation Room and tell them it was a Panther Clipper trying to land in the medium pad. This week, we have a presence in 369 systems, up by 19 since last week. And it will come as no surprise to learn that we are in expansion again. Your booms this week are in Kokari, Barnard Star, and 36 Ophiuchi. The great Barnard Star investment is over for now. Wolf 359 has boom and infrastructure failure. But apart from that, it's all very quiet, unless you start messing about in the colonies. But what does it all mean? Well, if you want to shruck it or run some missions, then you can do both or either in Wolf 359. In particular, they will need machinery and food, so truck those in for maximum profit. If you want to shoot it, then why not shoot it in the Dabby Major and then give it a wedgie just to make sure. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit.